Again, some were carved out of the rock. Others were freestanding masonry. Many of them show very close architectural ties to developments in Constantinople. They reproduce many of the features you would see in the churches in the capital. And here, first-class artists were brought in, often men who could paint naturalistic or classicizing paintings. These would be in a style that was probably current in the city of Constantinople and just don't survive. And so these churches in Cappadocia are important for a number of reasons. One is it shows the survival of classical arts and aesthetics in Constantinople through the whole of the Dark Age. If in the 10th and 11th century you could get painting of this quality in provincial towns, well, what must have existed in the capital? Furthermore, these churches have been something of an eye-opener to many historians of art. At one point, it was believed that these paintings had to date later, had to date from the 13th or the 14th century, because the style was just too, quote-unquote, developed. And this is if you compare it to contemporary Western European painting, miniatures or paintings in Western churches. And that comparison really is false, because the Western European development is quite different from what you have in Byzantium, and a number of these painted churches, especially the rock-cut churches, are clearly dated. They have names of leading patrons who are associated with the Macedonian dynasty and their successors. Furthermore, it is only in this period of the 10th and 11th century when these great families had that contact with Constantinople and could bring in artists of this sort of rank and skill. And so the churches in Cappadocia are really quite a revelation in the persistence of classical forms. And there are a number of superb examples. Some of them were perhaps repainted by later Greeks dwelling in the valley under the Turkish rule. There is one church in the Peristrema that is clearly a 13th century painting. That's the Church of St. George in the Peristrema in 1292-1294. It's dated. The donors are there. But most of these churches clearly belong before the period of the Seljuk Turks, that is, before the Battle of Manzikert in 1071. Not only did the arts flourish within the Byzantine Empire proper, that is in Cappadocia on that great plateau, but the influences radiated out across the frontier into the Armenian and Georgian lands. And those kingdoms were part of this wider Eastern Orthodox world. That would be the lands of Transcaucasia. And throughout this course, I've stressed the close ties of those lands to Asia Minor, to Anatolia, over the course of succeeding civilizations. And those ties were again reforged in the period of the Macedonian dynasty. For about 300, 400 years, many of these areas acknowledged the Muslim caliph in Baghdad. They were vassals of the great Arab monarchy that had succeeded in Baghdad under the Abbasid caliphs. And it was only in the 9th and 10th century where these kingdoms can again reassert themselves. And when they did, there was the money and the means to put up new churches, to adapt what was going on in the Byzantine world, and create an independent set of churches and arts appropriate to these Armenians. The Armenians, one must remember from a previous lecture, are not complete members of the Orthodox world. Many of them followed a confession that Byzantines would see as monophysite, as heretical. Some of them did adhere to the Orthodox faith, perhaps about 20% of them. But most of these Armenians dwelled, as I said, in this uneasy alliance with their Byzantine neighbors. Yes, they were fellow Christians, but they did differ on certain points of doctrine. Furthermore, the Armenians were particularly conscious of their cultural identity, and they were always standoffish towards Constantinople. But that did not prevent them from bringing in artists and looking at the churches in Cappadocia. We do know that there were families that moved across the frontier and adapting those arts to their own uses. There are a number of spectacular Armenian churches that survive from this period, from the 10th and 11th centuries. And I'd like to focus in on one of them as an example of the kind of resurgence of arts that are going on at this point. That would be the Church of Akhtamar, which is on an island of the same name. It's in Lake Van. It's on a spectacular setting. on the southern shores of Lake Van, and that is very close to the old kingdom of Urartu. The church was dedicated by an Armenian king, King Gajik I, who ruled an Armenian kingdom centered on Lake Van known as Vespurakan. There were a number of Armenian kingdoms. It was never really a united Armenia.